He has set us free to be able to live a life that is pleasing to Him and to bring honor to His name. We're going to be talking about renewal over the next few weeks. We have a lay renewal coming up at the 1st of March. That's just a couple of months away. I hope that you're excited about that. As I begin this morning, let me ask you this question. Has there been a time in your life that you were more faithful to God than you are right now? Has there been a time that you've been more faithful? Has there been a time that you've walked closer to God than you're walking right now? And for many of us, we have to say, yes, there has been a time. There has been a day. There has been a moment in my life where I was closer to God and I served Him better. I was more faithful to Him in all ways. And if you're saying that this morning, you're saying, in my life, I need renewal. I need to be renewed in my walk with Jesus. I need to be renewed in my faith, in my life, and in all the things that I'm doing so that I might bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ in everything that I do and in everything that I say. As we get into the message this morning, you're going to notice the outline that's in your bulletin is not going to be right. That's my fault. After I turned in this outline and continued to work on it, this message grew and grew and grew to a point that I could not do it all this morning. So it's actually going to be about 5 weeks long. So this is the first in a series that we're going to go through as we talk about renewal in the body of Christ. More specifically, renewal in Wilsonville Baptist Church. And if you want to get really specific, renewal in me. Does that excite you a little bit? I hope it does. As we begin this year, I hope that we can be renewed in Christ. As we look around our country, we look at a nation that is in a mess. Would y'all agree with that? We're in a nation in turmoil. And as we look at the church, we see a church that is in need of repair, in need of renewal nationwide. There's not a lot we can do about all the other churches around, but we can do something about this body of Christ. Would y'all agree with that? Now, we can't do anything about any other church member, but we can do something about me. Would y'all agree with that? So we're where we need to be to get started. We're beginning to realize We are in need of renewal. We are in need of renewal in our lives. We get drained. We get run down. We get tired sometimes. But folks, God is at work, and He has some great things going on. So as we begin to look at this, let's pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 1. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them into the square on the east. Then he said to them, "Listen to me, O Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry the uncleanness out from the holy place." And when Hezekiah was king, he became king at a young age. He inherited a nation that was in trouble. He inherited a nation that had turned their eyes away from God. He inherited a nation that needed to turn back to God. He needed a nation that needed to be renewed. You can look in 2 Kings 18 and in a chapter that we just looked at and see the things that are going on. Hezekiah was God's man. God's man to come in and lead a nation back to God. God's man to come in and help bring honor and glory back to God's name. Now there are some steps that we see that Hezekiah was taking as he began to restore Judah as a nation to a right relationship with God. And he began by looking and finding what was broken and begin to repair it. Isn't that what we do most of the time when we've got things in need of repair around our house, around our church? We begin to prioritize. We begin to look at what needs to be repaired, what we can do, what we can't do, what's most important to do. He began to look around, and in the first month of his reign, Hezekiah began to make changes. You know, changes are hard, aren't they? Changes are hard for everybody, but he began to do that. He didn't wait around to get things done. He went to work right away. You know, today we seem to delay a lot in doing what God has told us to do. We tend to delay a lot in what the Bible teaches and how the Bible teaches. We tend to want to get a committee together and let that committee sit down and debate it out and then bring it to the church leaders and say, this is what we think ought to be done. So then we bring it to the church and the church votes on it. And we've wasted months and months of times, many times, in doing what God has already said to do. Folks, when the Bible says to do it, there's no need to sit around and wait. There's no need to look around and see if this is what ought to be done or not. When God said this is the way it's done, then that's the way it's done. And any other way is going to be wrong. It's going to be sin. We need to get on the right page with God and realize that His Word is important and follow Him in what He's doing. Back in 2 Chronicles 28, 24, and 25, the Bible says, moreover, when Ahaz gathered together the utensils of the house of God, he cut the utensils of the house of God in pieces, and he closed the doors of the house of the Lord and made altars for himself in every corner of Jerusalem. In every city of Judah he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoke the Lord, the God of his fathers, to anger. Now, what we find there is what was broken. What had been broken that Hezekiah needed to come in and get fixed and get right. And he immediately went to work repairing the temple, getting things done in the temple so that God's house, the temple of God, where God was dwelling in the Old Testament, that's where what the temple symbolized. It was where God was, what presence was. They would go to the temple. They would bring their sacrifices. The high priest was the one who got to go into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God and do his thing. Now in the New Testament, that changes a little bit. What's the temple in the New Testament? We are. We're told that our bodies are the temple of God. His Holy Spirit moves in. He dwells within us, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. He lives within us. That should be a powerful thought process in our lives to keep us on track of what we're actually doing. My body belongs to God. My body is a temple of God. Everything about me needs to remain clean. My thoughts, my actions, my words, the things that I do with this body, they need to remain clean. This is the temple of God. Now, to prepare the church today, we need to realize what's broken. And I always like to look at the early church to get a look at what needs to be done. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37, he writes, now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Man, could y'all imagine a Sunday like that? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? That would be a great day. 3,000 people coming to the Lord as we had a worship service together. Y'all know that'd mean we wouldn't get out in time for lunch, right? It would be wonderful. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostle. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now notice that part here. They met together all through the week. They spent time together all through the week. And day by day, every day, people were being saved. Folks, why doesn't that happen today? Why aren't we seeing that today? Why aren't we seeing people come to Christ? Now, we can point a lot of fingers. We can make a lot of excuses. We can talk about a lot of things. But I believe it comes back down to the church being the church and Christians living like Christians ought to live. I believe we need renewal. I believe we need renewal in our lives, in our hearts, and in our church. As we look at these verses, that the church was built with worship, prayer, fasting, biblical teaching, sacrificial giving, fellowship, discipleship, and service. And we put these into five categories today: worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, and ministry. You know, too many times we get caught up in the buildings. We get caught up in what the building looks like, in how everything's decorated, in the carpet, in the pews, in the seats that we sit in. Are they in the right? We get caught up in my spot. If somebody's sitting in my spot, what am I going to do? How am I going to worship? And we spend the whole worship service sitting there worried about who's sitting in my spot. We get so caught up in things so many times that instead of our focus being God when we come in, we're focused on me, myself, and I. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too loud. It's too soft. It's not what I want. It's not the way I want it. It's not the way I would do it. And we get so caught up in that we miss the opportunities to grow in our lives for Jesus Christ. Folks, what we want to focus in on this morning is worship. We're going to talk about worship. True worship. Worship is focused on Jesus. Worship is not focused on your pastor. Worship is not focused on you. It's not focused on the choir. It's not focused on the deacons. It's not focused on Sunday school teachers. It is focused on Jesus Christ. And when we're worshiping anything other than Jesus, it's sin. It's not where we need to be. We have come here today to worship Jesus, to put our focus on Him in all that we're doing and saying. Worship is the feeling or expression of adoration for God. Realize this: God loves you so much that He gave His one and only Son to die for you on the cross, shedding His blood so that you might have forgiveness of sin. Now, when we think about what He has done for us and what we have coming, it's not too much to ask to focus on Him. He is worthy of our worship. And He is the only one worthy of our worship. We need to trust Him. Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, they're talking about the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And He follows that up by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Folks, when we're loving God with everything we've got, we can't help but worship. Not just on Sunday, but every day. We worship. We worship a God who is alive and well and at work. In John, chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We let the Holy Spirit guide our worship, our hearts as we worship. We learn to listen. We learn to truly worship in a way that brings honor and glory to God. And we're going to talk for just a few minutes about four aspects of worship that when we come together, we take these things and we do them. But folks, they're important in our lives. Worship is expressed as we sing. And we open up our service with singing. And we spend time singing together. And we close the service singing. And we sing together, lifting up together the name of the Lord. We bring a sacrifice of praise to God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. The Bible tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't matter if we can sing well or if we can't. It doesn't matter if we can carry a tune. You know, so many times we get to a time of singing and we're worried about what the person next to us sounds like, or we're worried about what we sound like to the person next to us. Folks, what we've got to realize is this. Worship is not a concert by a few people standing in front of others for you. Do you realize that? Worship is a concert of all of us together as we lift our voices joyfully to the Lord, giving thanks to Him together. It's all of us. It's taking part in worship. It's taking part in the things that bring honor to God. Do you want to put a smile on God's face? You want to make God happy? You know, in our lives, we talk about that sometimes. We think about that. You know, I've heard people say, you know, this would make God happy. What? This would make God happy, what we're talking about. Worship Him. Lift up your voice to Him. Don't put the focus on you or the people around you. Put the focus on God. He wants to hear your voice. He gave you the voice you have. He knows if you can carry a tune or not. And guess what? He doesn't care. He wants to hear your voice. Lift your voice to Him. Worship Him. As we sing, what does that say to God about your feelings for Him? And are you faithful to lift your voice to God? Worship is expressed through the preaching of God's Word. That's what we're doing right now. Preaching the Word of the Lord. Preaching God's Word so that we can get a message from it. It's a time of learning. It's a time of conviction. Folks, preaching's not about what we want to hear. A lot of people are looking for that preacher that's going to preach what they want to hear. Folks, preaching's about what we need to hear. We need to hear from God. We need to hear from His Word. We need to hear words that convict our hearts. We need to hear words that will change our lives. We need to hear words that make a difference in what's going on and how God is working. It's done by God's leadership. It's an important time in the service each week as we present God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to work it into our lives and into our hearts. For those who don't know Jesus, We pray that the Holy Spirit will be working on their hearts, that this will be a day that they will open up their lives and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For those of us who are Christians, the Holy Spirit's working inside of our hearts and working in a way that will convict us of the sin that's in our lives so that we will confess it, convicting us of the changes that need to take place, helping to teach us to walk and talk and live the Christian life as we move forward every day. Folks, preaching of the Word is important. It's in the Word of God. And it's not to be taken lightly by those who do it. And folks, I hope you know, I don't take this position lightly. I strive to preach the Word of God the way God gives it to me. And He gives it to me through His Spirit and through His Word. Folks, we need to listen. We need to learn. We need to grow in the Word of the Lord. Folks, you know, a lot of times we come in and we miss the whole message. We don't even remember what the message is about by the time we get out the door. We're on to the next thing. Folks, when God speaks to our hearts, it should be something that sticks. Something that stays there. Something that not only do we hear it here, but we go home and we open up God's Word and we begin to talk about what was in it. We talk about that Word so that God can continue to grow it in our lives and do something within our hearts that only He can do. Are you faithful to hear what God's speaking to your heart about? You know, a lot of times we're sitting there thinking, well, I'm glad He preached that message for them. I'm glad He was here today. I wish she had been here this morning. But folks, we need to look at what God's speaking to our hearts about. Let it seep into us a little bit. Let Him grow us. Worship is expressed through the preaching of the Word of God. Worship is expressed through giving back to God. I heard a British evangelist tell this story. Man goes into a donut shop and he buys a bag of donuts. He has 10 donuts in his bag. He gets his donuts and he goes over and he sets them down and he sets his coat down and he sits down to start eating his donuts. There's a guy sitting across from him. Reaches over, opens the bag, reaches in, takes a donut and begins to eat it. And he begins to think, well, that stinking donut thief, he took my donut. I can't believe that man just took my donut. And he's sitting there all angry and everything, but he takes a donut and he begins to eat it. And in a few minutes, the man reaches back over and takes another donut out of the bag. And he said, who does he think he is? He said, I ought to say something to him, but he might be a little crazy. I don't know that I want to say something to him. So he's sitting there, and the man's eating his donuts. He gets down to the last donut in the bag. There's one donut left, and the man stands up, and he's about to go, and he reaches in the bag, and he breaks the donut in half and puts half of it back in the bag. Smiles at the man and walks out the door. And he said, I'm not going to eat that half of a donut that man has touched. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he's been doing, but I'm glad he's gone. So he starts to get his things together. He picks up his coat, and there under his coat is his bag of donuts. That man had not been stealing his donuts. He had been sharing his donuts. Gladly sharing his donuts. Folks, this is what we got to get to here. They're all God's donuts. Do we get that? They're all God's donuts. We get all upset about things sometimes and about the way things are. They're all God's donuts. God gives you 10 donuts. He expects you to give one back. That's called a tithe. That's the 10th. He expects you to give one back. You got people out in the out here this morning that are sitting there saying, I've got 10, I need 10. I give God 9, I don't have 10 anymore. What am I going to do? I need 10 donuts, I've just got 9. Here's the great thing about how God works. God can take your 9 and make them 10. That's an amazing thing. I can't explain it. I know there's a change in the priorities that we have, the priorities in spending, but God does that. And somebody's sitting there saying, yeah, I have 10 donuts. I give one to God. That leaves me with 9, but I need 12. He works that way. He multiplies what we have. Now, folks, I'm not saying He's going to make you rich. I'm not going to say He's going to double your salary. But I'm going to say He's going to take care of your needs. Here's one of the problems we have today. We've tried so hard to keep up with everybody else that we've got ourselves so much in debt that we don't know how to prioritize spending anymore. We've bought more than what we were intended to have. We've got more than what we need. How many people here have more than what you actually need? I'm going to raise my hand here. More than you actually need. And yet we're out looking for more. Have you noticed that? We're always out looking for more. Leanne and I, when we first got married, I'm thankful for the wife that I've got. She's a very sensible woman. She didn't want a credit card at all. But we've got one for emergency purposes. And we use it alone. But never more than we can pay off in a month. Our credit card company hates us. We don't pay the interest. They give us money for the rewards program we're in, but we don't pay the interest. Folks, we get so caught up sometimes, and I've got to have the next car. I've got to have the next house. I've got to have the next boat. I've got to have the next suit. I've got to have the things that make me look and feel like I'm important. And God says, you're already important. I created you. I provide for your needs. I have people tell me, I can't afford to tithe. And I look at them and say, I can't afford not to. Folks, you can't outgive God. You're not going to do it. It doesn't matter how much you do, how much you serve, how much you give. God's going to bless your life more. That may not be in the ways that you're thinking. But He's going to bless your life. Because I'm telling you, the spiritual blessings are much greater than the material ones. God is real and He's alive. In Malachi chapter 3. The Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, have we robbed you? How have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Test me in this. I want to ask you. Last year, we began the year with a challenge to bring your tithe every week. For those of you that did that, I want to ask you, how did God work in your life? For those who didn't, I want to challenge you. Let 2018 be a year that we're faithful and bring in the tithe into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? The church. The Old Testament was the temple. New Testament is the church. The body of Christ. Bring your tithe into the storehouse and see what God does with it. Last year, we had a good beginning. First few months of last year, we were doing okay. And then we got to the middle of the year when it's time to travel, when it's time to go on vacation, when it's time to hit the beach and the mountains and go places and do things. And we got to a point where we couldn't do ministry. We couldn't do a lot of things because we had to pay bills. We had to make cuts. We had to do things that upset a lot of people. The last 3 months of last year were fantastic. You look at your paper this morning, you see that we're actually in the black for the first time in a while. God has blessed. God has given us an opportunity here. God has given us a new start for 2018. Folks, I want us to, this year, be faithful throughout the year. Not just on the months that we feel like it. Not just on the times that we're here. But the tithe is God's all the time. And it's all His. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. Let's make this a year where we can do ministry in ways that are pleasing to God. And we'll reach out into this community and be able to do some things that we hadn't been able to do for a long time. To show this community the love of Christ. To be able to grow in the Word of the Lord together. To be able to do God's work, God's way. Worship is also expressed through our prayers. Prayer is a very important time in every worship service and in our lives as individuals. We find prayers of worship in Psalms, and we hear them throughout the Bible. People lifting up their voices to God and bringing praise to Him. We're to pray and to meditate on God and His love for us. Aren't you thankful for God's love? Aren't you thankful for what He's done and how He works? You know, worship should never be about what we want it to be. It should always be about what God wants it to be. Prayer is not about trying to get God to do what we want. It's about changing our hearts to do what God wants. And God will do that in our lives. And He'll work in our lives. And the Holy Spirit will lead us as we worship and as we pray. And we find that in those things we'll bring God pleasure as we worship. Truly worship in spirit and in truth, allowing Him to be seen and heard. We're able to love others with the love of Jesus. We find that we're enjoying our worship time because we can feel God enjoy our worship. Isn't it a great feeling to feel God feel good? I know that's an odd way to put that, but God sure does bless our lives and continue to work in us. We're able to serve others, even when the world say and don't. We're able to love others with the love of Jesus Christ. We find God doing greater and greater things. The Holy Spirit keeps us from placing the focus on anyone or anything else because we're focused on God and trying to stay focused in the ways that we need to. We need to allow God to lead in our lives through His Spirit. You know, I know a lot of people talk about worship, and I've heard people say, I can worship out in the woods as good as I can worship at church. And I know worship goes on there, but folks, I'm going to tell you, it's not the same. It's not the same. We are to worship wherever we are, and we can worship wherever we are. But we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ. I know if this hand was not connected to my body, it would not be able to function. It would not be able to do what it needs to do. And folks, one of the problems we've got is we've got Christians trying to do the work of Christ outside of the body of Christ. And while you may be able to do a little good, you're not going to do a lot of good. Great things happen when we do it God's way. And God's way is the body of Christ working together. Worshiping together. Studying the Word of God together. Growing together in the love of Christ. So that He can do through us all that He wants to do. We can't do it our way. We must do it God's way if it's going to be done right and in a way that, pleases Him. What's going to be the difference for you in 2018? What's going to be the difference in your worship, in your life for Jesus? Are you willing to humble yourself today? Are you willing to allow God to make a change in your life and in your heart of what's going on and where you are? Have you been looking for someone else to do something different when it's actually your heart that needs to change? Do you need today to surrender your life to Jesus? In just a moment, we're going to sing. You'll have the opportunity to come to the altar, come to the front pew. And maybe someone in the service you need to pray with, you need to look to, you need to talk to. And maybe those here today who've never given your heart to Jesus and you know today's the day. You need to surrender your life to Him. I invite you to come. I invite you to come today. Don't put it off. Don't wait for another moment. There is no better moment than right now. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now is the time to make that decision for Christ. He loves you. He wants to be in your life and your heart. Will you come? Will you come? Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for the opportunity to be together, and we thank you for the power that is in your word. And we ask that right now, as we come to this time, and as you speak to our hearts, that we would heed the call. Father, I know you're calling in many lives today, changes that need to be made, attitudes that need to be changed, lifestyles that need to turn to you. And Father, we pray today that you would be honored with us as we have come through this time of worship to a time of invitation to where we listen and we respond to the word that has been preached. Let your will be done in each one of our lives right now. In your name I pray. Amen. So we stand together and sing, You Come.
We bow our hearts.